beginning to read at verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the lands of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem, in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in the grove. And Asa cut down her idol, and stamped it, burnt it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days, and he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 5th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. Thus far the reading of the Holy and Divine Scriptures we consider as our text tonight, the first 7 verses, 2 Chronicles 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you, while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the text that we consider tonight is the prophecy of Azariah, the son of Oded, the prophet. Of the man himself we know virtually nothing. He was one of the great company of preachers which the Old Testament speaks that delivered the Word of God to the kingdom of Israel in the Old Testament. His name itself means Jehovah hath helped. And his father Oded's name means the restorer. So that the man, in his faithful giving of the Word of God, and as the text itself indicates, by calling his prophecy the prophecy of his father, Oded, the text indicating by that that this was the same word that his father brought to the kingdom of Judah when he was a prophet, the man himself in his names and in his faithful bringing of the Word of God is a reinforcement of the word of the text that Azariah brought to Asa and all Judah at this time of the calling to Asa and Judah to be faithful to God in the covenant. And it's noteworthy as well that the prophet Azariah, the son of Oded, brought this message to Asa of all kings. Asa receives this exhortation, a sharp exhortation. Seek the Lord, and He will be found of you. And if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Asa receives that. Asa was a godly king. The prophet Azariah did not receive the commission to preach to an ungodly king the sharp message of the text. Asa was a godly king, a restorer of sorts, after the disastrous and ungodly reigns of Rehoboam and the hypocritical Abijah. Asa reigned during a time of the flourishing of the kingdom of Judah. He built again the fenced cities. He sent out the teaching priests to teach Judah the law of God. He recovered certain cities that had been taken away by the kingdom of Israel. There was a falling to him in abundance of faithful Israelites from the apostate kingdom of Israel to the faithful kingdom of Judah. And Asa especially indicates his godliness by his treatment of his own ungodly family members, specifically his grandmother, Maacah, who worshipped Asherah, the disgusting cult of the Zidonians and of the heathens round about Israel. He put her out of her office as queen mother and chopped down her idol. Asa was a godly king. And the message of the prophet, therefore, does not come to Judah during the time of Judah's laxity in godliness. That's important. That's important for a right understanding of the text, because the text teaches in the sharp exhortation of Azariah timeless truths about the covenant of grace, the covenant of grace that God has also established with us and with our children. The language of the prophet in teaching about those timeless truths is striking. It's striking not only in its sharpness, but because of its form. If ye seek Him, He will be found of you. If ye forsake Him, He will forsake you. There are those, especially today, that lay hold on the conditional language of Scripture, for that is what it is, conditional language, in order to cleverly and surreptitiously insert into the covenant of grace conditions in that covenant. So not only must we understand the exhortation of the prophet, but we must understand the language in which the prophet gives that exhortation, in order that tonight we may come to a little better understanding of the way that God will bless us, covenant fellowship with Him. Let us consider then this text under the theme, calling Asa and all Judah to seek the Lord. Let us notice first of all the meaning. Let us notice second of all the reason. Let us notice thirdly the encouragement. Calling Asa and all Judah to seek the Lord, the meaning, the reason, and the encouragement. The striking prophecy of Azariah begins with the truth, the Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. So that tonight, the Word of God to Trinity Protestant Reformed Church is that. The Lord is with you, Trinity Protestant Reformed Church, while ye be with Him. And if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. The message of the prophet, therefore, concerns the truth of God's covenant. That it is the truth of God's covenant, that is the teaching of the text, is clear from the text itself. The prophet Azariah comes preaching the truth that God is with His people. That God is with His people is the truth of the covenant. The truth of the covenant, therefore, is not that God makes a bargain or an agreement or a pact to be with His people. That is not the truth of the covenant. That is the majority explanation of what the covenant is today, but that is not the truth of the covenant. Covenant, they would say, is the agreement that God makes with His people, saying to His people, if you will seek Me, then I will be found of you, and I will be with you in the covenant. Rather, the truth of the covenant, according to the text, is the truth that God is with His people. That is the main idea of the text is clear also from the context. And the reaction of the nation to the prophet Azariah's message in verse 12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers. The correct translation of that verse would be this. Not a covenant, but the covenant. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers. Israel heard the message. Israel believed the message. And Israel entered into the covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers. The message of the prophet, therefore, calling Israel at that time, and tonight calling us to seek the Lord God of our fathers, is the message regarding the covenant of God. The one eternal, gracious covenant of God. The covenant that God in eternity decreed to establish with His people in Jesus Christ. The covenant, the members of which God chose in the eternal decree of election before the foundation of the world without regard to anything that they had done or not done. It's the covenant that God manifested when God Himself joined God in man in the most intimate union, a union of two natures, human and divine, in the one person of Jesus Christ in the incarnation. The covenant that God established when God sent Jesus Christ to die upon the cross for the sins of all His people. It's the covenant that God personally establishes with each one of His elect people when He calls them out of darkness, regenerates them, and makes them a new creature. joins them to Jesus Christ by a true and living faith and indwells them by His Spirit so that He comes to them and is with them. It's the covenant that God Himself will perfect in the eternal kingdom, Jesus Christ, in the new heavens and the new earth. It's the covenant of which the kingdom of Asa was a type, a picture. The rule of Jesus Christ among His people and their hearts and lives by His Word and Spirit so that they love Him, devoted to Him, trust in Him with all their heart. The covenant that will be perfect in eternity. The Lord, says the prophet, is with you in the covenant. The text also explains to us clearly the manner in which God is with us in the covenant. The prophet does not say very generally, God is with you, so that God being with us is a sort of sentimental, superficial thing. The prophet explains very clearly the manner in which God is with His people in the covenant. The prophet does that negatively. Verse 3, now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. The prophet there is not explaining any particular point in the history of Israel. He is not referring there, when he speaks to Asa, of the previous reigns, for instance, of Abijah or Rehoboam, ungodly reigns. Rather, the prophet there is teaching a timeless truth about the covenant. The reality of the covenant is God with us, so that God is our God, we are His people. The way now in which God is with us is explained there in verse 3. The prophet does it negatively. When Israel was without the law, because they were without a teaching priest, they were also without God. Therefore, the text explains there how God is with us. To be without the law, by law there, the prophet doesn't mean merely the Ten Commandments, but law in the sense of the Scriptures, the Word of God revealed to His people. This is the truth. This is the way that God wills for us to live. That's the law. When Israel is without that law, without that Word, because Israel is without a teaching priest, that is, without a minister, without an office bearer, ordained to teach that law, then Israel is also without God. When Israel has a teaching priest, then Israel also has the law, and Israel also has God. That makes known to us very clearly the way in which God is with us. God is with us in the church where there are faithful office bearers who teach God's truth. Or to put it another way, God is present in the congregation in a covenantal presence so that He is with them and blesses them and their children. In the church where the Word of God is preached, all its truth and fullness. The question of the text is, where is God? That's also the most important question for the life of the child of God. It outweighs any other question in his life. It outweighs the question of where he will work, how he shall eat, or wherewithal he shall be clothed. It outweighs absolutely every other question This is the question, where is God? Where is God in a covenantal, blessing presence? God is where His Word is preached. Where the Gospel is purely proclaimed. And by implication, where the discipline is properly carried out. There is God. And there also is the peace and the prosperity of God's people. Now in that covenant, God with us, where His Word is preached, there is a calling to the people of God. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. The calling of the text is very simply to seek the Lord in the covenant. The text describes in that exhortation the life of the people of God in the covenant. It's not a seeking in the sense that many speak of seeking today. A seeking which is nothing more than an excuse to go after every sort of strange doctrine, every sort of strange lifestyle. It's a word that they use today, seeking is to cover and to excuse departure from the Word of God. They're seeking. They're on a journey. They will see. That's not the seeking of the text. The seeking of the text is the seeking of God in a life of true repentance. In their trouble, the prophet says, they did turn unto the Lord and sought Him. The life of the people of God in the covenant, being with God in the covenant, is the life of true repentance. It's the daily sorrow for sin. It's the daily turning from sin, turning unto God, as we heard this morning. It's not a life of perfection. It's a life of repentance. And by implication there, negatively, it's a life of not continuing in sin. The people of God sin. That is true. That will be true of us till our dying day. We sin. We sin often and we sin frequently. But we do not continue in sin. The Word of God comes. The Word of God breaks our heart. The Word of God turns us so that we are turned. There is also in that turning to God, in a special way, in our preparatory exercise before the Lord's Supper. We're coming to the Lord's Supper, let us say. There in the Lord's Supper, the Lord is with us in a special way by His Word, but also in the sacrament, so that the Lord Jesus Christ is present. There is prior to that the diligent examination of our lives. There is the seeking of the Lord, where the Lord has given Himself to be found. That's the implication of the text. When the text says, if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. The idea there is the Lord has given Himself to be found by His people. It's not a self-willed seeking, but it's a seeking where the Lord has said, here I am. Here I'll be found of you. It's a seeking where the Lord is present in the manner that the Lord is present, that is, in His Word. To seek the Lord, then, where the Lord has given Himself to be found, is really nothing less than the diligent attendance upon the services for divine worship. The text is a sharp, uncompromising rebuke of the child of God who will foolishly neglect by his own decision to leave the church, fly off around the world, doing this, that, and the other thing. Doing so, he neglects seeking the Lord, services for divine worship, where the Lord has given himself to be found. The text is a sharp, uncompromising rebuke of the notion that skipping church is a less serious sin, let us say, than adultery. Seek the Lord, the prophet says. He'll be found of you. Some may say, well, sought the Lord for 49 weeks out of the year. 3 weeks out of the year, I'm not going to seek the Lord. Can you imagine a husband saying that about his wife? I sought my wife for 49 weeks out of the year, and I'm going to seek some other woman. It's not a less serious sin. Neglecting the services for divine worship. Seek the Lord, the prophet says. And he will be found of you. And there's a seeking of the Lord in the diligent labor, not only within the church institute by the office bearers, but by all the people of God in their whole life. It's a calling to Asa, the office bearer, but also to all Judah to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord not only by being faithful in the worship of God, as we see later on in the text that they were, but in all of their life. The seeking of the Lord in the work, let us say, the kingdom of heaven, as the prophet makes clear when he says, your work shall be rewarded. The seeking of the Lord in the building and maintaining of good Christian schools for the teaching of the covenant children. It's the seeking of the Lord in the labor in a good marriage, husbands loving their wives and wives loving their children, or husbands, parents loving and teaching their children the truth of the Word of God. The seeking of the Lord in all of life. Seek Him. And He will be found of you. The summary, really. The whole positive side of the text is nothing more than what our baptism form says. It's our part in the covenant of grace. Included, the prophet's exhortation to seek the Lord is the negative side. If ye seek Him, He will be found of you. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you. Forsake Him. It's a covenantal term. It refers to covenantal apostasy. Forsake Him. By forsaking His church, where the Word is preached, where the teaching priest is. Forsake Him. By forsaking His Word, including the Word of the Reformed creeds, the doctrine that is taught here in this Christian church. Forsake Him. By forsaking the truth, forsaking His law, living as one pleases, doing what one wants, if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. There is in that word of the prophet the truth of the decisive forsaking of the reprobate shell of the church. Those that are born into Israel and into the church, the carnal element, who are of Israel, but are not Israel according to the Spirit, who are merely under the administration of the covenant. God forsakes them with a real, final, absolute forsaking. They hear the warning. If you forsake Him, He will forsake you. They hear it from ministers
They hear it from parents. They hear it from teachers. They hear it from faithful elders. And regardless, they disobey it. And they go on in their wicked and ungrateful lives. And they're damned. If you forsake Him, He will forsake you. They live very close to the church. Their sin is not like the sin of a Philistine or an Egyptian. It's the sin of an Israelite, of which there is none greater, coming very close to the covenant, to the truth, the tasting of the heavenly gift. And they taste it, and they spit it out. Turn their back on God, and on His truth, and on His covenant. And God forsakes them eternally in hell. There is also in that word of the prophet the warning to the child of God, the elect member of the covenant, who forsakes God temporarily in a wicked life. There's a forsaking of God there too. It isn't final and absolute, but it's a temporary forsaking. And that forsaking is described in the description of the chastisement of God upon Israel when Israel forsook Him. Verses 3 through 6. That's misery described in the text. Talks about their trouble. And that there was no peace to him that went out nor him that went in. Great vexations and adversity. Nation destroyed of nation and city of city. Tumultuous times in the nation when they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. That was God doing that. He gave them those times of great vexation and adversity and the destroying of nation and city of city to vex them. That wasn't punishment of His people, but that was an extraordinarily severe chastisement of them. He didn't forsake them absolutely, but He forsook them in His blessing presence of them. Now the presence of God was a vexing presence. So too in the church, the life of the individual child of God, when they forsake God in a wicked life, or in wicked doctrine, or in wicked practices, troubles them. And that's misery. There is in the text sharp warning against carelessness in the Christian life. Forsake Him in a careless life. Do that once. And listen to Him. His word comes, ignore it. Say, God really doesn't mean that. Forsake Him. He'll forsake you. You may not sin with impunity in the covenant. It's a sharp warning in the text against the idea that a church can tolerate all kinds of wickedness in its midst, all kinds of strange doctrines and notions. It doesn't matter how the discipline is carried out. It doesn't matter what the doctrine is. It doesn't matter what the worship service consists of. It isn't true. If you forsake Him, He'll forsake you. That's misery. A sharp warning in the text to the office bearers in the congregation with regard to that sin that we mentioned earlier of neglecting the means of grace, that they take that dead serious, that if they observe
life of the church, as they are called to do by God, to which the members of the congregation must submit, is they observe a forsaking, that they deal with it decisively. And there is, too, by implication in the text, because Asa, in addition to being an office bearer, was also a family man. There's a sharp warning that if we see forsaking in our own families, that we deal with it decisively. If the Lord forsakes them, is that not also our calling to forsake them? And Asa did that. He put out his own grandmother and demolished her wicked worship, and her wicked practices. Seek the Lord. Seek Him where He gives Himself to be found. He'll be found of you. And if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Now that's striking, isn't it? If, you might say to me, but we don't preach that in our church. If, is that not striking language? It is indeed striking language. In fact, it's conditional language. If you seek Him, then He will be found of you. And if you forsake Him, then He will forsake you. That has always been the occasion in the church for heretics of every stripe to slip in the works of man and conditions into the covenant of grace. Latch on to conditional language and by it teach conditions. And the heretic always has a tactic in that too. He presents the conditional language as though it's an absolute conundrum. That if you teach the truth that God's covenant is a gracious covenant, in which His will is sovereign, and only the elect are members, established in the cross of Jesus Christ, personally by God's work of regeneration in the heart of all His people, that if you teach that, then you can't preach this text, you see? That's what Erasmus did to Luther. Gathered together all the conditional language texts in the Bible and threw them at Luther. That's what the Arminians did at the Synod of Dort. And that's what the men are doing yet today. Latch on to conditional language, and then teach conditions in the covenant. Now by conditions, we mean simply this, that they teach that the seeking of God, and negatively, the not forsaking of God, is that upon which the covenant depends. With regard to this particular exhortation, they would explain it this way. God will maintain His covenant with you if and only if you seek Him and you do not forsake Him, so that they present the seeking, the repentance, and the not forsaking of the life of the child of God as that upon which God's covenant with us depends. Especially in its maintenance. Now, the whole text denies that. To teach that is utter folly on the face of it. First of all, the text doesn't come to Judah while Judah's at a low point. While Judah is off worshiping Balaam and Ashtaroth and Baal, Moloch, that isn't the case with Judah. Judah right now is under the reign of a godly king. In fact, one of the best that would ever reign. Judah is upright in walk, knowledgeable in the law of God, strong in her defenses. It's almost silly to say, God will be with you on the condition that you're with Him. They were already with God, and God was already with them, as the life of Judah makes manifest. Secondly, to say that the language of the text teaches conditions, that is, that upon which the covenant depends, is refuted by the text even in the warning.
Notice, for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest, without law. When they and their troubles did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations. And notice verse 6 also, a nation was destroyed of nation and city of city. Why? For God did vex them. There is in that warning the truth of the absolute forsaking of the reprobate shell in the church. But there is also the teaching of the vexing by God of His people when they forsake Him. Now, there's one thing you can say about that. He did not absolutely leave them. Even in His vexing of them, He was with them. He was vexing them in order to turn them as they're walking down a certain way to arrest them in that way, to turn them around to the right way. Even there, it's utter impossibility to teach that the not forsaking of God's people or the seeking of God's people is the condition upon which God being with them depends. Even when they didn't walk in His way, still was with them, although He vexed them. Third, to teach that the conditional language of the text teaches conditions in God's covenant flies in the face of the truth about God's covenant as it was manifested in the history of Israel, which the prophet describes in verses 3 through 6. There is a timeless truth about God's covenant. God's covenant with Israel, God's covenant with us and with our children. This is the truth. When they forsook Him, He vexed them. When they sought Him, He was found by them. And if the covenant of God with Israel depended upon their seeking Him and their not forsaking Him, they never would have got out of Egypt. They would have been destroyed in the desert. They would have been consumed during the period of the judges. And they never would have made it past the reign of David. The history of Israel is a history of dismal failure to seek the Lord, repeated corruptions of His worship, ongoing ignorance of the knowledge and will of God. The text drives that fact home when the prophet says, "A long time now." The idea there is repeatedly now. But that's true of us. The history of God's covenant with us, individually, and we could even say as churches, and as a church, is not our perfection and ongoing uprightness. Daily, we sin against Him. We sin against better knowledge. We sin against His covenant. We sin against His grace. That's us. Condition? On what I do? Even the very best? Impossible. Not a condition at all is the language of the text. Rather, in the conditional language of the text, is revealed sharply and clearly the will of God for the life of His people in the covenant. The question we must ask ourselves is, we understand that there is not conditions in the covenant. We understand that the covenant doesn't depend upon anything we do, not even anything that we do by grace or by the Holy Spirit. The covenant doesn't depend on that. If we seek the Lord, that's because the Lord worked in us His will and His good pleasure, and that's a fruit of God's covenant. not a condition. But now, why the conditional language? Why the if? Ask yourself that. Why the if? The answer is, first of all, that language makes known very clearly that the covenant of God is a relationship between the living God and His people. God is present with them, blessing them with peace and prosperity and harmony. And that presence of God with us is not irrespective of the course of our life. The covenant of God isn't God's presence with us regardless of the way that we walk. That isn't even the covenant. The covenant of God is God with us as His covenant people who also love Him, walk with Him, obey Him, love Him. Sheer presumption. The grace of God and on His covenant to say God is with us irrespective of our way of life. Presumption to say that God is with us irrespective of if we hear His word or not. That's to separate the two things that God has joined together, His word and His covenant presence. Such does that language make known. Secondly, that language makes known in a crystal clear fashion what the will of God is for the life of His people in the covenant. If ye seek me, that's clear. If ye forsake me, that's clear. Third, that language makes known in a crystal clear fashion that God's will in the covenant is sovereign. I ask you, if God's being with you depended on your seeking Him, if God's not forsaking you depended on your not forsaking Him, how long would the covenant last? Language makes clear that God's seeking of us in the covenant is absolutely first. He sought Israel and Benjamin and Judah and all of His elect people first in the eternal council of election when He chose them. He sought us first when He came down to us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, being born of the woman so that God made flesh dwelt among us. He sought us first, descending into the other depths, the agonies of hell upon the cross, laying there in the cross the legal foundation of the covenant of grace, atoning for our sins and earning for us a perfect righteousness which He imputes to us by faith only. He sought us first when He causes the gospel not only to be preached to us, by that word and through His Spirit He opens the closed and softens the hard, makes us new creatures, draws us to Himself. He seeks us, lifelong seeking of us, preserving us from every evil way, turning us when we sin, working repentance in our hearts. Upon His seeking, our seeking absolutely depends. Because our seeking depends on His seeking, for that reason also He doesn't absolutely forsake us when we do sin. Chastising, forsaking. But a chastising, forsaking because of His mercy made known in the cross of Jesus Christ. There in the cross we see the reality of the text. The if of the text. That was the experience of Jesus Christ on the cross. That was what made the cross so incredibly painful for Jesus Christ. God forsook Him. He forsook Him there. That was His experience. My God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? The Son who sought Thee, and everything that I did. The Son who sought Thee and Thy glory when I came down, bearing their curse. The Son who sought Thee, even by hanging on this cross, why hast Thou forsaken Me? If there was an answer, then it was this. Because I said, if Your people forsake Me, I will forsake you. By that word, the word of the cross, God there forsook His Son in our place for our sins. And by the admonition of that cross, seek Him. Do not forsake Him. God also makes His will effectual in our heart. When the Word comes, that Word has an effect on the people of God. That they actually seek Him. Perhaps you felt in your life chastening hand of God. It's heavy. No peace. To him that went out or to him that came in. Turmoil. Fightings within and without. Vexation with all adversity. Then hear God's Word. If ye seek Him, He will be found of you. For when they turned unto the Lord and sought Him, He was found of them. Perhaps the experience of the church, the life of the child of God, is that of Asa. He heard these words. And he took courage. The Word of God gave him courage to continue to be busy in the work of the Lord. The Word of God gave him courage. Be strong. That is, be strong in the work of the Lord. Don't let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Asa was rewarded in his seeking of the Lord. A gracious reward, a reward that was the crowning of God's own work in his heart and life, but a reward nonetheless. And the reward was that the Lord his God was with him. The highest blessedness for God's people, to experience the presence of God with them. His reward was peace in his kingdom. His reward was the courage that he received. Press on the labor of the kingdom. His reward was that he was busy in the work of the Lord all the days of his life. May we also hear that word of the Lord. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. And if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Work in our hearts by that Word. We might seek Thee, not only this day, but all the days of our lives and in our generations. For Jesus' sake, amen.